Okay, we don't have a quorum yet, so what we'll do is we won't approve the minutes or make any formal motions, but we'll let a co-author, Representative Woodard, start in the presentation of the bill, and then we'll do the formalities after we get enough members here. Representative Woodard, are you ready to begin?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this bill, House File 474, basically just takes the fire safety account and protects it. This is an account that homeowners pay on their insurance when they pay their homeowners insurance, and was designated to the fire safety account. And we're going to have some testifiers talk a little bit about what they do with this money and why it's so important to them. So I apologize that I'm not sure who is scheduled to testify, but I am prepared for testifiers.
Read your agenda, Woodard. One more.
Okay, for the members' information here, I've asked these folks a while back to come in, and we have a special presentation for the fire safety account because there's been a lot of questions, and as much as we still know about it, there was still some confusion about the whole flow, where it goes from the origination on the insurance policies to the final end result to the actual firefighters and the steps in between and how they're authorized and accounted for. So welcome, gentlemen, and whoever would like to start with your name and title, and go ahead and begin.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, Bob Johnson. I work with the Insurance Federation of Minnesota, but I also serve as chair of the Statutory Fire Safety Advisory Committee, and we'll walk through the statute, some of the history, and then give you some details in terms of the program, the dollars, the collection, and then the expenditure of them, as you indicated, Mr. Chairman. So I think the first chart just indicates a number of specific organizations that are directly a part of, were part of the creation of the law, but also are part of the statutory advisory committee that the legislature formed back in 2007. And perhaps we could jump to the second, if somebody could... We'll go through these in a little more detail. And just history, just for a couple of minutes, Mr. Chairman, and we'd be happy to answer questions as we go, whatever is convenient for committee members. That on this chart we just indicated was a 2006 legislature, and the chief authors of the legislation that created the fire safety account. It was signed by Governor Plenty in May 26th of 2006. It was a collaborative effort between the fire service groups, the ones that were on that first chart, and the insurance industry. Minnesota had, prior to that time, a 0.5% state fire marshal tax. On the chart, we called it a hidden tax. It was not specifically identified in terms of consumers and the policies that they purchase, but the decision was made that we repealed that and put in place the surcharge fee of 0.65% on homeowners commercial policies that have fire coverage, and that money was is deposited in a special revenue account that was created. So at the as part of the law that was passed at that time, again, the account was created. The law that created it specified dollar amounts over a series of years, and there's a subsequent chart that I'll get into a little more detail on, that it specified dollar amounts that were to go to general revenue out of the special revenue account on a going forward basis from the year it was created. So the next center part of that chart just indicates the specific statute is 299F.012. There's another chart. Why don't you keep that one up here just for a minute, that previous one. And so in the center of that chart is a listing of the specific groups that under the law are serving as members of the Fire Service Advisory Committee. And so it's a 12 total, two representatives from the fire chiefs, the League of Cities, and the professional firefighters, and the State Fire Department Association, and then one individual from each of the other ones. So that's the group that was created. The charge to the group is the bottom part of that chart. There were three specific charges in terms of recommendations by the advisory committee to the commissioner of the Department of Public Safety as to where dollars were to go. And as you see, those three charges listed there for the Minnesota Board of Firefighter Training and Education, for the program and the staffing, the budget of the state fire marshal, State Fire Marshal Division, and then the third category is for the fire-related regional response team programs and any other fire service programs that have statewide impact. So those are the three buckets, if you will, that recommendations for funding must follow one of those three. But then on the next chart, just in terms of some of the dollar history, tracking it since the creation of the account, that and really these are both on the left in terms of the dollar amounts and just showing it graphically on the right. This is the collections. And so the charge that I indicated that was created, the 0.65% of a gross premium charge, and then the amount of money that's been collected in the account by year. And then the bottom part of that chart is showing the expenditures. And again, the left side, the dollar amounts by category, and then just showing them in graphic form on the right-hand side. And so if you look at, Mr. Chairman, each of those years, and committee members, you'll just see a dollar amount for general revenue. Those dollar amounts were specified in the original law that created this, and it actually designated the dollar amount that was to go back in general revenue. So I think if you look at the wording of Representative Smith's bill, you'll see right on it on House File 474. If you look at that the bill, and that amends that the actual fire safety account, you'll see those dollar amounts specified in the legislation that was decided how much out of the account is to go back into general revenue. So that is the dollar amount under each one of those 2 years. And then the other ones are just dollars that have been recommended and expended out of the account in one of those three categories that I mentioned. The state fire marshal's budget is as it's indicated. And then the dollar amounts of training, and then some additional expenditures that we were able to make recommendations on because we had some dollars to do that in 2010 and 2011. And so that's a summary of the collections, and then the expenditures by year, and then the categories of where the dollars went. And the last chart, Mr. Chairman and committee members, is just a kind of a simple graphic walkthrough here. Of on the top left-hand corner, just to kind of visually show this, that all of us, if you own property, you buy a policy, you have a homeowner's policy, you have a policy declarations page that shows the coverage, the premiums. And so this is kind of how it translates to consumers in Minnesota, that you'll see on that is the implementation of the 0.65 surcharge on the premium of the policy. And that is sent in to the revenue department, you know, directly, electronically by the insurance companies selling in Minnesota, the top right hand. And then underneath that, the monies in the account can only be expended after you and the legislature have appropriated dollar and the amounts that you appropriate to be spent out of that account. And so that's the center left column, and it's just a picture on the bottom there of the I've been a part of it since inception. We have a vigorous, healthy discussion process. I'm the one, I guess, non-fire service, although we have some township officials. So, but we have a healthy discussion of the requests, of the categories, of really all the grant recommendations that are made, and take the charge seriously and take the time on it and come up with a series of recommendations that we make to the commissioner of the Department of Public Safety, who under the law then needs to follow off of those recommendations that come out of the Fire Service Advisory Committee. So that's a brief overview, Mr. Chairman, of the process, how we go about it, the recommendations, and then the commissioner then implements, if you will, and the dollars go to, you know, the individuals that we've made the recommendations on. So that's my portion of the charts, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to answer any questions or if you have it right now or whenever that's appropriate.
Members, you would like to wait till all three presenters get done and then ask questions? Or, you know, the next person, thank you very much for your testimony, and the next person would give their name and title and go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Ken Prilliman. I'm the fire chief, City of Brooklyn Park. This morning, I'm here speaking on behalf of the Minnesota State Fire Chiefs Association, the Fire Marshals Association of Minnesota, the Minnesota State Fire Departments Association, and the Minnesota Chapter of the International Association of Arson Investigators. To my right is Mr. Tom Thornburg. Mr. Thornburg is the president of the Minnesota Professional Firefighters Association. It's a pleasure for me to be here this morning and picking up where Mr. Johnson left off. He's shown you how the money is collected and the process for allocating it. We'd like to briefly explain what these Subdivision 2 purposes entail. The next page in your handout focuses on the State Fire Marshal's office. State Fire Marshal provides services in three primary areas and five secondary areas. Those three primary areas include codes, which is both the adoption of the fire code as well as the interpretation of the code, inspections, a variety of different types of facilities, hotels, schools, hospitals, adult and foster care facilities, as well as fire investigations, determining the cause and origin of fires throughout Minnesota, as well as providing training to agencies like ours who have some of these resources available locally. The five secondary areas that the State Fire Marshal's office provides includes the fire data collection and reporting for all fire-related activity throughout the state. They do all of the explosive licensure and pyrotechnic certifications. They do all of the sprinkler contractor licensing. They handle the fire standard compliant cigarette program, as well as provide public fire safety education. The State Fire Marshal is the only state agency that I'm aware of whose funding is not dependent upon general fund revenues. And while some of us here in the metro have some of these resources available to us locally, the fact that remains that many of the departments that are represented here behind me rely completely on the State Fire Marshal's office for the support of these very important tasks. Now, to go to the next page in your handout and to show you the balance of how this money is being spent, we've arranged a brief but entertaining show and tell. I'd like to address your attention to some folks in gear in the back of the room. The men and women who've entered the room in gear represent the utilization of funds that are used to reimburse fire departments through the Minnesota Board of Firefighter Training and Education and the various statewide response teams. The signs that they're holding indicate the cost of their equipment and how much it costs to train them to use that equipment. The next page in your handout shows you what these regional response teams include.
For information for the committee, the chair has okayed the use of the signs here as evidence of the your testimony.
Thank you, sir. The first of these regional or statewide assets is Task Force 1. Task Force 1 was created following 9/11 with federal funding for both the equipment and the initial training. In many ways, Task Force 1 relies upon local support for the maintenance of that equipment and for all of its disposable supplies. And with the exception of a very small portion of last year's fire safety account, has received no state aid or support since it was created following 9/11. Task Force 1 has relied completely on federal grants for the replacement of their equipment. Hazardous material teams and the chemical assessment teams. The state originally had three emergency response teams which were capable of doing mitigation of hazardous material incidents. We now have just one mitigation team or emergency response team and 11 regional chemical assessment teams who can assess but cannot mitigate a hazardous event. The reduction from three emergency response teams to one is a direct result of not having the funds to sustain the training in order to maintain their certifications and readiness. And then also following 9/11, we deployed 15 decontamination trailers. But to this date, there's been no supplemental funding of that program, so we do not have the capability for a broad-scale mass decontamination program. The Homeland Security Emergency Management has recently undertaken a study to look at the condition of those trailers. We're painfully aware that some of them are in a serious need of repair and refurbishing. We are expecting that program out shortly, but the reality is, due to lack of funding, this program, as well as Task Force One, our hazardous material teams, are not sustainable without continuing to find ways to fund them. Finally, the last broad area that I will bring to your attention is the Minnesota Board of Firefighter Training and Education, who is responsible for administering a reimbursement training program that is intended to serve all of Minnesota. I'll point out to you is what's in your handout and what's on the chart that Sherry is putting up, that less than 50% of the Minnesota firefighters are certified to the basic Firefighter 1 level. In addition, the average training budget throughout greater Minnesota fire departments ranges between $2,000 and $5,000. And as you just witnessed, $2,000 or $5,000 will not go very far to properly train a single firefighter, much less prepare a department for the risks and hazards that they are intended to mitigate. And Minnesota currently ranks somewhere between 44th and 47th in spending for the fire service, depending upon how you measure that on a per capita basis. As you are all aware, Minnesota Fire Service is made up of primarily volunteer and paid on-call firefighters, a system that already saves Minnesota taxpayers millions of dollars. However, despite the efficiency of that model, there's some inherent inefficiencies. With the exception of just a few fire chiefs, most of us are unable to tell you specifically who will be on our fire engines at 2 o'clock tomorrow morning. This means that in order to be effective, every firefighter needs to be trained on every piece of equipment, because it doesn't matter whether it's this piece of equipment or this one or any of the ones that you saw displayed here a moment ago. The reality is that if one of these is needed to save your life, I have to make certain that every firefighter on every apparatus understands how to operate every piece of equipment. In closing, and in line with this last point, let me share with you a partial list. Let me share with you a partial list beyond structure fires and automobile accidents of the risks and hazards that we're preparing for. Airplane fires and crashes, machinery entrapment, confined space rescue, structural collapse rescue, high angle rescue, water and ice rescue, weapons of mass destruction, improvised explosive devices and other terroristic events, train derailments, nuclear events, emergencies in prisons and mental health facilities, flooding, tornadoes and other natural disasters, and bridge collapses. I could list dozens more. I, like most fire chiefs in the building today, drive my community and contemplate how we might respond if the Coon Rapids Dam breaks, or a plane falls out of the sky, or a train carrying 500,000 gallons of E85 fuel derails and explodes. The reality is, whatever the event, someone dials 911, and with a reasonable expectation that we arrive with competently trained firefighters and officers and the specialized equipment needed to bring the hazard under control. We can only do this when we have the financial resources to consistently train and constantly prepare. Thank you very much for your time this morning. I appreciate your attention. We'd be glad now to take any of your questions.
Okay, members, I didn't want to interrupt during their testimony. I always think that's kind of rude for housekeeping. So now we'll take up the housekeeping and bring the meeting to order and start out with a roll call, and then after we take care of these, we'll get back to you folks.
Cornish.
Here.
Woodard.
Here.
Mullery.
Here.
Gauthier.
Here.
Grunhagen.
Here.
Hilty.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Kelly.
Here.
Kiefer.
Here.
Kriesel. Leidiger.
Here.
Mariani.
Here.
McDonald.
Here.
Moran.
Here.
Nornis.
Here.
Slocum.
Present.
Smith.
Here.
Okay, and we have a quorum, and we'll accept a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting, March 9th. Anybody with me? Representative McDonald moves the minutes of March 9th for approval. Any additions or corrections? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, minutes approved. Okay, now Representative Smith, would you like to move your bill for possible inclusion?
Mr. Chairman, that would be my motion, that be recommended to pass and laid over, if you will, Mr. Chairman, for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Okay. The bill is in front of us now formally, and we'll return back to the testimony. And I think you were done and you wanted questions, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, members, any questions so far on the fire safety account presentation? Got a quiet group here. Must have been a late night. We could move into the next bill. Representative Smith, would you like to move your second bill?
Chairman, thank you. On that House File 609, same motion.
Okay. Representative Smith moves House File 609 for possible inclusion of the Omnibus Finance Bill. And who would like to start? In this one, I can imagine it will probably be a little bit shorter because we've covered most of the needs. This will be the mechanics of the how the grants are applied.
Mr. Chairman, we do have, I think, in the packet the HO 609A1 amendment. Excuse me, it's an author's amendment on the grant authorization to get the bill in the way I'd like it, so I'd move the amendment.
Okay, Representative Smith moves the A1 amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion amendment approved, and folks, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Ken Prilliman again, speaking briefly on behalf of this bill. The purpose of this is to provide the Commissioner of Public Safety some additional and more efficient methodology for distributing the funds to allow those funds to be distributed either on a per firefighter basis or a formula that's a combination of firefighter and population served. We have discovered, particularly in outstate Minnesota, that the process of reimbursement is cumbersome for our part-time fire chiefs and has resulted in less than expected embracing of the program. And this allows us to more efficiently, with less government, move those much-needed training dollars to the locations that they're needed.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, just very briefly, just to endorse and, I guess, second all the comments today, we have had considerable discussions at the advisory committee about what is the best way and the most effective way, and I think we've been frustrated at times, and genuinely, I believe that House File 609 represents a material help and improvement in our efforts to allocate, to identify the needs, meet the needs, and get the dollars out. So we think this is an important addition to the kind of the tools and the way that the advisory board functions and can make recommendations to the commissioner. So we just endorse and encourage the legislature to act on this.
Okay, any more testimony? If not, is there any testimony today from anybody opposing this bill? All right, and if somebody else wishes to testify, is
he in support?
In support of the bill? Mr. Sunum.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Ken Sulum, General Counsel with the Minnesota Association of Townships, and I'm here to offer our full support to both House File 609 and House File 474. Our membership, when the original Fire Advisory Council was established and the dedicated funding worked out, our membership passed a resolution of full support at that time, and this past November at our annual conference passed another resolution making it very clear that we oppose any effort to transfer the dedicated funds back to the general funds to backfill the budgetary shortfall. And so the two bills that have been brought forward would help protect those funds and ensure the much-needed funding for the training and equipment needs that our rural members need. So thank you very much for your consideration of these bills, and we hope that you will include them.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Ann Finn. I represent the League of Minnesota Cities, which is
a statewide organization representing almost all of Minnesota's 854 cities. I want to echo everything that Mr. Sulem said without being redundant, and also just mention to you that the grants from the fire safety account offer a unique opportunity for some cities to collaborate, and that's something that we're always looking for ways to do, and I wanted to raise that as one of the real benefits of this fire safety account, that it offers one incentive for our folks to go in on joint training efforts and equipment purchases that they may not otherwise consider. So I want to thank Representative Smith for bringing forward both of these bills and offer the full support of the League of Minnesota Cities.
Thank you very much for your testimony. And we have a question from Representative Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. More of a statement. When I was running for city council, I was asked to join on fire ops for a day, and basically we got a day of training, which was really enlightening. And I was thinking maybe, Chief Simonson, that maybe the committee should engage in that at some time. It's a worthwhile experience. But my point is, I'm hoping that we can expand mitigation of hazmat with maintaining this dedicated fund. But actually, my request to speak was to commend all of you for your service and what you do every day for the people of Minnesota, and I want to extend my thanks to you.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question maybe for Representative Smith or whomever may answer this. The funds will be allocated to, correct me if I'm wrong, the city councils, respectively, and then distributed from there to some of the departments. Obviously, any volunteer fire department is under the auspices of the city councils, the potential cities. So what assurances are there that the city councils don't, and I hate to use the word raid, but I'm going to, or maybe infiltrate some of those funds for other necessities?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McDonald, the bill, I think the second one, 609, if passed, would authorize the Commissioner of Public Safety to make grants for purposes of fire training, and so there would be strings attached.
Would you like to make a comment, sir?
And now the chief will come forward and give you the real reason. I'll stand corrected and admonished.
Chief, your name again?
Not at all, Representative. Ken Prilliman, City of Brooklyn Park. Representative McDonald, certainly the city council would have the right and the authority to take these funds and balance a local budget. But the reality is these funds are an integral piece of us becoming less dependent on our own local revenues in order to meet the training and equipment needs in our own jurisdiction. So it would be counterproductive for any city to take this money and further put their own fire departments further behind. And in many cases, as I testified with regard to the state teams, those jurisdictions are already supplementing those costs, and so this allows them to, at least on some basis, either get reimbursed or to enhance the level of training and equipment that goes into those teams.
Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I will more than likely support this bill because my hometown fire chief, Bob Van Lith, is about 6'6", and a block away from my photo studio, so I certainly don't want to take off him or my friends and the firemen. But as you are aware, many departments throughout the cities are grasping for volunteers or for firemen. They are not many of the young folks are volunteering. You can see in the report the 72% of them are over the age of 35. Young folks are raising their families, and there's a big commitment to be a fireman. And God bless them, because they certainly put their life at risk. They're called off during birthdays and births and Christmas. So we need our firemen. But they sacrifice a lot, and of course they don't do it for the money, but they do it for the sake of public safety and saving lives. But they're not paid very well, and because of the cities are having a hard time recruiting volunteers, perhaps the cities need to either encourage a department of the city to pay them a little bit better, or the pension funds are another area that is a big concern. So my question is, the fear is that there'd be collecting so much money for the safety and the training, leftover money, when they're not, maybe some of those funds could be geared towards pension funds for the firemen, or maybe their call, $2 a call, sometimes maybe you can up that. So if you could just maybe speak to that nature, if I made any sense at all.
Representative Smith.
No laughing over there, gentlemen. Well, especially my friend Gautier.
Mr. Chairman, as author of this bill, I just would, and for purposes of establishing a legislative record of what we're doing here, the intent is, I believe, as stated in the bill, that the commissioner in making annually the grants to the fire departments goes on in the bill to say these grants must be for the activities and programs, including training, that are recommended by the Fire Service Advisory Committee, etc., and these grants are to the fire department. So it is the intent of the author and the bill and this committee, if it moves on this, to see to it that the cities don't just fritter the money away on other areas other than the fire departments and fire training and equipment.
Okay, thank you, Representative Smith. Representative McDonald, anymore?
No, thank you, Chairman. So, Representative Smith, I did read that as well. So that it is lock, stock, and barrel. It's in cement that the councils cannot take the money for other areas.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McDonald, that's the intent of the bill, and it's my intent as well.
Very good. Thank you.
Other members? Mr. Selman, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Representative McDonald, I'd also point out, if you look at page 2 of the bill, starting in line 2.29, there is a mandatory requirement that any grant recipient has to submit a report of what the funds were expended for. So should there be any funny games that would come out in that report and be subject to whatever current recourse or future recourse the legislature would decide to impose, there's a safety net there.
Okay, no other questions. Representative Smith, would you like to close?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I will. I would like to do that. The men and women who are sitting behind me in the audience, whether they're volunteer fire, and across the state, whether they're volunteer firefighters, paid-on-call firefighters, or full-time union firefighters, have made a commitment that when it becomes necessary and you call or we call 911, that they will leave their families to come and protect ours. And it was in that light in 2006 that this legislature established the fire safety account. Now, for 150 years ago, when the state was first getting started, about all the training you needed was two things: how to hook up the horses to the boiler and how to set the fire to the boiler, so by the time you got to the fire you had the steam up. Things have changed since then. We have a whole world of synthetic products that we store in the house, flammables. 911 has happened, and we've got security, decontamination, hazardous materials to worry about. This fund was established in 2006. But the tax had existed for 100 years or more already on individuals' fire insurance. It was a hidden tax. People really didn't know they were paying it. So in 06, this legislature, on a bill that I introduced, and I'm not here because of pride of authorship, I'm here because it's right, we changed the law and made it a transparent tax on the fire insurance that people have in their homes. And it was dedicated to the training and acquisition of equipment and knowledge for these firefighters. The safety account was not dedicated to funding state parks, wasn't dedicated to schools to buy books or to hire teachers. It wasn't dedicated to theaters or any other form of arts. It was granted for firefighter training, so that when people went to a state park or to a theater or went to school, when they come home, their house would still be standing if it caught on fire while they're gone. So I think that these two bills are entirely appropriate, and I would hope this committee adopts them at some point and holds sound the fire safety count that we established in 06. Members, thank you for your support. I hope I have it, and with that, I would say thank you for your time.
Okay, Representative Smith, thank you very much for the presentation of your bill, and thank you to all you folks out there. keeping us safe. We appreciate it. It was a good day. We finally got a lot of questions answered about the flow of the money and where it goes and how it's used. So that was the original intention. Any questions from members here? Okay, with that, we'll hold the bill over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Finance Bill. Thank you,
Rick. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Folks, if you would, we're going to do some housekeeping items now, and we got some things to talk about. If when you leave, if you could just do so quietly, unless you want to stick around, but if you get up, we'd probably be having the last few days when everybody gets up, we can't hear anything for 5 minutes to operate our business. So thanks a lot again for being here. Okay, members. Representative Mullery, have you thought any more about my offer for input on from you folks on the Omnibus Finance Bill, what you would like to see protected or not protected or increased or decreased or any input that you'd like to give to the process? Probably in the week after next, we're going to put a bill out and allow for plenty of time for amendments and comment, and we're not going to rush it through or jam it down your throat, but for that, we would like to see some input from you folks. But what are you thinking?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've been authorized to meet with you on that, and so
okay.
We can do that.
Sounds good.
Sometime. I would, Mr. Chairman, not on that, but on the bill yesterday, and unfortunately, Representative Smith isn't here. Afterwards, I contacted NCSL about whether what they had information on about using CHIPS treatment of juvenile prostitution, and they said that there's a good study in New York. New York, I think, was the first to start doing that on a large scale. But one thing, as I said yesterday, I really support that approach in most cases, but New York did leave it up to the local jurisdiction on each case to, in certain cases, don't fit that. So I hope as your meeting, as the bill goes forward, that you consider leaving it up to locals in some cases not to put it all under CHIPS.
Okay. We'll look at that.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments from anybody? All right, so good. Representative Mullery, you get a hold of me, and we'll line up a meeting and get your input for the Omnibus Finance Bill, and we'll work it out. Other than that, if the GOP members could just, if you wouldn't mind, just coming by the office after this, if you can, just for like 3 minutes, that'd be great. And other than that, meeting
Chairman,
is...
You know, Mr. Chairman over here. I apologize for being late, but I was on my way down here at 6 minutes after, and 12 Blue Cross Blue Shield constituents showed up in my office. And I just want to apologize. I meant no disrespect for coming in late. I just wanted you to know I got tied up.
Oh, no problem. We realize that everybody's schedule is so demanding. That's why we have co-authors in case something happens to the original. So
thank you.
Thank you, Representative Smith. And our next meeting will be Monday, March 14th, and it'll be OJP programs and gang strike force personnel to talk about their accounts and go under our grilling. So 8 a.m. here, Monday. Were you notified of that yet before today?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, meeting adjourned.